The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
More here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the frozen heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
You don't have a frozen heart, honey. I love you. You got a warm heart, and we're giving you a warm welcome. This is Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our bunker.
And yeehaw. Looking ahead to the weekend, it's been pretty chilly here the last couple of nights. They were originally projecting up to 6 to 12 inches of snow right across central Indiana. Thankfully, however, for us, not so good for the people north of here. It looks like the jet stream is going to swing north.
I think it's just going to miss us. I pray it misses it, but we need to pray for the people north of us. They're getting hit.
Even so, after that, come next week this time, it's going to be very chilly. The weather guessers are telling us that we can expect 48 straight hours of sub-zero wind chills. So,
And in the midst of it all, Al Gore beams in.
Yeah. It's okay. He'll leave the car running so it stays warm while he gives the acceptance speech. Well, welcome. It is December the 9th.
The chilly 9th.
2010.
And I want to thank everybody, by the way, since yesterday was the day that my niece, Kristen, was in a really, really nasty auto accident. And many of you have been praying for her. And I got to tell you, I got good news to report. She is doing much better today. As of yesterday this time, we didn't know if she was going to make it. But the good news is that it looks like her concussion is relatively minor, just one spot. Subarachnoid space, if you know what I'm talking about. And she is in the hospital in Louisville, and they expect to keep her 3 or 4 days and then release her. So that's a miracle.
That is a miracle. When you called me last night, I was at the choir rehearsal, and you had stayed home because you weren't feeling very well.
Mm-hmm.
And had you not stayed home, you would not have been here to...
There was a chain of events that had I not been here, it would have been really bad for my sister, Kristen's mother.
Yeah. But when you called over there, and there's a physician who sings in the choir, and I described to them what you described to me over the phone, that they had to life flight her from the accident scene, not from the hospital in Madison, but from the accident scene itself. She was taken by helicopter to a hospital in Louisville.
And she looked bad. The description by people there said that she looked very, very grave.
Yeah. And so we prayed. Our choir director, Don Dagenhart, God love him. He said, okay, what are their names? Okay, everybody join hands. Let's do this now. And we prayed. And it was a very specific and heartfelt prayer asking for God's divine intervention in this case. And, Dr. Tower in the choir, when I described the life flight situation, I just saw his head, he bowed his head and just kind of shook his head. And I said, well, you know better than I do what that means. He said, it's not good. When they call in the life flight, it's not good.
You know, and Sarah, her sister.
And apparently the only, am I correct that the only injury that they found is this relatively minor concussion?
Exactly. There's this hematoma in the subarachnoid space that they found. Mm-hmm. They did a repeat CT scan today to look for anything else, and it's all gone. She was intubated, as far as making sure that she was able to breathe when she first got there. That's been removed. I mean, a lot of the life support paraphernalia have been removed. She is breathing on her own. She's responsive to the extent that she punched one of her doctors in the gut.
Yeah, don't take the blood. But bear in mind that this is a woman who had to be cut from the vehicle.
Yeah,
to get her.
Both
to
she
the
and her husband were cut from the vehicle.
Right.
And my my great nephew Lane was in the car with them. He's about 3 years old, and he is completely fine, not even a scratch, a bump, or a bruise.
So
the only thing was that he had a little bit of blood on his tennis shoe, which he was upset about, but it was not his. Yeah. It was his uncle's.
That's astonishing, and that he was not hurt at all.
What's even more astonishing is that Kristen's husband didn't die. The passenger side of the car was completely caved in to the extent that when they went to retrieve his wallet, they couldn't get their hand into the space where Eric had been.
And he escaped with a broken leg, which is painful.
Yeah.
But he has already been released from the hospital.
Broken leg and maybe a broken rib or two.
Okay.
Not sure.
But released from the hospital already.
Yeah, and he was released last night.
Yeah. Bearing in mind that these people had to physically be cut from the car in order to, in fact,
when Sarah got to the hospital in Louisville, the chaplain was the one who greeted her. He said, "I need to speak with you first. Are you here for Jane Doe?"
Yeah, Jane Doe.
And Sarah had to describe her sister, and he kept referring to her as Jane Doe. Yes, that description fits her. Yes, those markings fit her. And finally, Sarah said, "Is she dead?" And he said, "Oh, no, she's fine."
Yeah, just a remarkable chain of events. So, you know, take what you like from that. But when Sharon told me today, after describing the situation last night, as it was described to her, and bearing in mind that Sharon's other niece, Sarah is a nurse
studying
in training.
Studying to be a nurse, yes.
And has some frame of reference regarding medical conditions. But just seeing the condition of the vehicle or hearing it described even, the fact that they had to literally cut it open mechanically to extract the two adults and then life flighted her directly from the scene rather than transport her to a hospital first. That's astonishing that that just a relatively minor concussion. My jaw dropped when you told me that at lunchtime.
I know it did, and I honestly believe with all my heart that the outcome that we're discussing now is a direct result of the prayer.
Yeah, a miracle.
It truly is. So thank you, everyone who has been praying for that. Please continue to pray for them because they're a young couple. Honestly, I don't know what their financial situation is, but I'm guessing that they don't have a whole lot. So just pray that everything goes well for them now and in the future as the bills come due.
Right, because they've got the aftermath to deal with now.
I mean, there's the immediate and then there's the later. So spiritual battle on the ground. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Another thing we want to report, a praise report. Those of you who have been following the story of Bob and Amy Land, our pastor and his wife, who have been in the process of trying to adopt three special needs children from Ukraine, they have been waiting and waiting and waiting. A miracle came through back in, late September, early October, that they got their financing through, you know, a wonderful set of circumstances, and we want to thank the people who took care of that. We don't want to name any names because their reward is in heaven, and that's how they wanted to stay. But the financing came through, and Bob and Amy have just they finished all the paperwork. They were told you've done everything you're supposed to do. Now just wait, and we will tell you when to come over. And they've been waiting and waiting. And this is a pastor who has to think about Christmas for his congregation, you know, and honestly, it's been a struggle within the church, you know, dealing with, you know, will the pastor be here? Will he be gone? We don't know. We don't know. Finally, he came over the other night and he was very frustrated and he said, "Look, here's the thing. Not only is this driving us crazy not getting an answer, but in order to qualify for the tax abatement, the tax credit, which is considerable. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars that they frankly are due from the IRS in order to because they've adopted these children. They won't get it if they don't have a signed agreement from the judge in Ukraine by January 31st.
Right.
That's the deadline. Guess what? Their hearing date is January 31st. In fact, Bob, when he was here, said, "You know what? The Lord has a sense of humor, and I'll bet you anything that the hearing date is going to be January 31st, right down to the wire." And the very next day.
Yes, the following morning.
We heard from him, and he said, "Guess what? Guess what the date is?" So the Lord has taken care of things, and is often with us, and I'm betting with many of you, it is last minute. That's just the way he does it.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that, and we're certainly looking forward to being able to share pictures with you when those children are here in Indiana.
We plan on doing that. We absolutely do. And those pictures probably will not be holograms. And
no.
We got to talk about holograms tonight.
Yes, jumping into the topic here. There's an internet story that's been around for a while. This is one of the conspiracy theories that, you know, is evergreen. It's sort of out there, and it is long-standing. Has been floating about for years. It was mentioned, in fact, in the book Final Events by Nick Redfern, called Project Blue Beam, which is supposedly, and I don't know that anyone has ever documented this. I don't know if it's ever been anything more than just an internet rumor. Frankly, I've not really looked into it much. All I know is that it's supposedly a plan developed by the global elites to project a holographic image of a returning deity, whether it be Jesus Christ, the Mahdi, the Messiah, whatever you want to call him, into the air to instigate a specific response from a particular group of people.
Right.
To make Christians think, ah, it's the rapture, or it's the second coming, or, you know, the Mahdi has returned, or is here.
There's a sale at Kmart. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So that's the blue light, Project Blue Light. Yeah. So that's what Project Blue Beam is supposed to be. The use of a holographic projection, a hologram, a 3D hologram to create an image that will make people behave a certain way. We're getting closer and closer to that.
We are really, really close. In fact, you and I have talked about videos that we watched on YouTube that were light shows.
Right.
And you would swear, watching those light shows, that the building was falling down, the building had a plane crashing into it.
A new facade suddenly appearing.
It was the most remarkable video, and we'll link to that again in case you missed that past show and you don't know what we're talking about. But these holograms are being done on television. CNN beamed in, what was the person's name? I'll come up with it here in a minute. One of their correspondents. She came in a hologram. Will.i.am came in a hologram and was interviewed by Barack Obama.
Interesting.
Prince Charles came in as a hologram and spoke to one of the big, you know, global climate conferences recently. Al Gore, and that's why I mentioned Al Gore earlier, saying he was probably going to beam in. He appeared as a hologram at the same climate meeting. These holograms are being done a lot now, and we're linking to an article about the military using holograms to better identify targets by using battlefield holograms. And I really think we are so close to the technology being something that would fool the eye.
Yeah.
Trompe l'oeil is a type of painting that it fools the eye. And you see it in restaurants where they'll, you know, it looks like there's a scene of people eating, you know, on another street over. And it's the way it was painted. It makes it look 3D.
There's a fella whose name I don't know, but I've seen pictures of his sidewalk art with chalk that makes it appear as though he's got 3D scenes right there on the sidewalk, you know, like a hole in the sidewalk that descends down to, you know, layers.
Exactly,
below the
city. That's trompe l'oeil.
Okay,
and I think that we are getting very close to that with essentially electrons. These holograms that I think if they can figure out a way to marry the science of holograms with substrates like graphene that are just one atom thick that you could, you know, use like a piece of paper or something, you know, almost as thin, take it into the battlefield in your backpack, pull it out, and it would be right there. You'd see everything that you need to see as if you were flying over it in a helicopter.
And there are a couple of videos out there on the web that demonstrate this. The one that Sharon found was of the city of Seattle. But Wired.com has a similar one, which I had posted to PID News yesterday, PIDnews.com, which is of a battlefield scene. And it's a essentially a printed – it's a photograph that's printed with a laser and a special type of film. The cost of printing now is between $2,000 and $3,000 per image. But as you turn the image, you see it's like seeing 3D TV or 3D mm-hmm. film without the glasses. It's a much clearer and crisper version of those holographic baseball cards and things that mm-hmm. you used to get in packs mm-hmm. of gum.
I used to have a watch like that.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
made Ren and Stimpy dance. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
So it is becoming closer and closer to reality. So not only do we have technology that allows us to see or people around the world to see a specific event happening in one place in real time, we are now very close to a time in which through the use of laser light or lasers on film, producing 3D images that are almost indistinguishable from real.
Let me bring up something that...
Please do.
Gilds the lily, so to speak. Adds another layer. Imagine the sort of technology that we're seeing in the movie Tron, mm-hmm. that is now in theaters, where you see Jeff Bridges as a young man.
Right.
They have digitally taken him back a few years, we'll be kind, to make him look like he's, I think, 34 or something like that. That it is said that they can do the same thing with dead actors. If you want to do a movie where Marilyn Monroe and Jimmy Dean are in the same movie together, you can do it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an actual actor and then alter that actor's face to appear like someone else. Now, marry that with holograms.
Okay, right.
And picture mm-hmm. Jesus Christ returning to the Mount of Olives.
That would be pretty astonishing.
That would be astonishing. Picture John F. Kennedy
mm-hmm.
walking out of his grave at Arlington.
Oh, yeah, the one with the massive head wound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is almost mind-boggling.
Well, it is when you think about Revelation, because it talks about how the image is given a spirit, given life to speak. Mm-hmm. In a way that could be said of holograms.
Now, marry that with artificial intelligence technology that the singularitons are striving toward. They believe that the singularity will be achieved when we can create an artificial intelligence that surpasses the intelligence of attainable through natural means.
And you and I are clearly going the same direction, because as you and I have spoken many times in our discussions, you guys should be here at night when we talk. that I believe that the spirits themselves, the fallen angels, inhabit the electrons. They inhabit the bits and bytes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put together a digital image that has the spirit within it, then you have reached a singularity that is an artificial intelligence. But that intelligence, that spirit, is not coming from the good side.
Mm-hmm. And that takes us back to that short story that I mentioned maybe a month or two ago by Harlan Ellison called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, in which humanity, much like the Terminator films, is essentially wiped out by a super intelligent computer network that linked itself together, decided that mankind was the root of all evil,
mm-hmm.
and wiped out all of humanity except for six people that it kept alive specifically for the purposes of torture.
Oh, yes.
And that's basically, I mean, very dark, very bleak story. No happy ending in that.
Well, what was the name of the intelligence? Aria?
In Eagle Eye. And,
yes.
And the name of the intelligence that Ellison gave in his story is I Am.
Ah.
And interestingly, even the singularitons will admit, we don't know if creating an artificial intelligence is necessarily a good thing, because there's no guarantee that it will be morally good. Well, duh. But they're going for it anyway.
Speaking of going for it, Sam has just jumped up onto the couch and he's trying to get underneath the binky. And he's staring at me.
You didn't need to make that play-by-play call. So there's that.
That's private,
the
Mom.
3D and military applications. And this also, by the way, relates to something that Wired had written about a couple of years ago called the Face of Allah weapon, which was a project that researchers were working on. like Project Bluebeam, to create a large hologram onto a battlefield to demoralize the enemy.
Isn't that interesting?
And again, if you're fighting an Islamic enemy and you project the face of Allah, which how would you know? Because I don't believe in Islam that they are allowed to create any images whatsoever.
I don't think they are.
So, but anyway.
So, yeah, how would they know?
But that was
look,
the,
he looks just like bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. This is something that, again, kind of falls in line here, that rumors anyway and speculation that global elites are looking for something like this that would demoralize, confuse, or mislead large segments of the population for the purpose of control.
Well, speaking of control, I'm sure that this is the story you're going to next, and that is that WikiLeaks and their supporters are doing their best to make the Internet not a fun place to play. They are using denial of service attacks on many of the sites that have funneled money through to and donations to WikiLeaks, PayPal, Visa, American Express, mm-hmm. taking down the bank sites that closed the accounts, generally using what's called hacktivism techniques to, well, frankly, make it so heinous mm-hmm. that anybody would dare to withstand WikiLeaks and suggest that WikiLeaks is evil, that what they're doing is begging those in power to crush the Internet. Okay, you guys can't play well, then nobody gets to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that may be playing into the desire mm-hmm. of the,
exactly. Yeah. I think it is. I really think it is. And this whole WikiLeaks thing may well have been for that very reason.
A false flag operation to convince.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this Internet is just too dangerous. Well, I think they'll have a real tough time making that, selling that concept to the 200 million Farmville players out there.
Farmville players unite!
Wouldn't that be ironic if that was the thing that, stopped the global juggernaut in its tracks when they tried to shut down the Internet? People who were cheesed because they couldn't get to Farmville.
And there's that that rebellion that we've all talked about. Good heavens.
Yes. So there's that. Speaking of money, by the way, and trying to shut things down, Ron Paul is on the verge of becoming the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. He's been 34 years in Congress, and it appears he's finally on the verge of getting an opportunity to do what he wants. His agenda, Dr. Paul's, is to get the chairmanship of this committee, and then in that role, because this committee oversees monetary policy, would give him the power to push legislation that would rein in the Federal Reserve
mm-hmm.
Bank.
Ben Bernanke would be on the hot seat every week.
Yes, but behind the scenes, new House Speaker John Boehner, House Minority Leader Boehner anyway, is really trying to...
Crown Prince Boehner?
Yeah, he's trying to maneuver Dr. Paul out of this position. So,
so why would he do that? I mean, seriously, I mean, what behind-the-scenes motivations or lobbyists are talking to presumptive House Speaker next year, Boehner?
Well, in 2012, I mean, you know, the House still – no, wait, no, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking it was the Senate that the Republicans won. No, I've got it reversed. It is the House. So as the incoming majority party, Dr. Paul would be the chairman. Right. And John Boehner will be the new House Speaker. Forgive me.
Absolutely.
I'm tired. Anyway.
Honey, I love you anyway.
it's pretty clear that the guys who are in power, for all the noise they made about the fiscal irresponsibility of the Democrats, the Republicans, the ones who really pull the strings at the national level, aren't any different. They mm-hmm. just want their hands on the levers instead of the Democrats.
That's
they don't intend to change policy whatsoever.
Well, I think I hope Dr. Paul gets in that position because, honestly, mm-hmm. I would love to see how he deals with it.
Yeah. Several major banks have gone out of their way to make it clear to incoming Republican congressmen and senators that they are very concerned about Dr. Paul and his son, Senator-elect Rand Paul,
yes.
coming in and actually bashing the Fed. So we shall see what comes of this. But just bear in mind, those of you who are rejoicing at the prospect of a Republican majority in the House, that behind the scenes, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell aren't going to do anything any differently than Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi.
No.
Not on the big issues. If only we could convince that massive dark object in the Oort cloud to throw a big snowball at those guys just to teach them a lesson.
What is that thing?
Well, I don't know. It's an article of the Daily Mail today.
It's not Planet X or Nibiru.
There's been a lot of speculation for many, many years that Planet X, Nibiru, whatever you want to call it, Nemesis, is somewhere out there. Somewhere out there, a great big black thing, anyway, is trying to kill us all. So I think the headline at the Daily Mail is sensationalistic. It says massive dark object lurking on edge of solar system hurling comets at Earth. Now, there may well be a dark mass out there that we can't see that has some gravitational effect on the objects that are out there in the Oort cloud, which is billions of comets, it's speculated.
It's hovering over our house right now.
It may well be.
It is.
That could explain. I forgot the foil hat. And it's,
oh, yeah. You got to have that
so,
on.
But anyway, it is quite a distance out there, up to 30,000 astronomical units from the sun, one AU being the distance between
well, you know,
the Earth
that,
and the sun.
That's so way that's out there. But I want to talk about things that are actually here.
Well,
and one of them is that a few days ago there was a supposed fireball over Atlanta. That I watched the video of, and it was really interesting. And then today there was supposedly a big comet in the UK. I mean, things are falling out of the sky left and right.
Well,
and is it the, you know, Geminids or whatever they're called this time of year that are throwing things at us? Or is it that big thing out there in the Oort cloud?
Well, you know, I don't know. I are not a scientist. And so just bringing this up, because this is probably something you'll see referred to on the conspiracy web out there. You know, oh, they've discovered Nibiru. They've discovered plenty.
I know. You know, and we were going to talk about the Erickson twins.
Oh, gosh.
We just, you know, with the so many things that we wanted to say before we got started, the thank yous and the praise the Lord, we ended up not getting to talk about them. But we will talk about them tomorrow. And along with that, I also want to talk about an article that just came out about the ability to essentially get the DNA of your unborn child without having to do an amniocentesis.
How do you do that?
They take the DNA circulating in the mother's bloodstream. There have been studies that now show they can get the entire genome of the fetus from the DNA circulating in the mother's blood. Yep, indeed.
That's really interesting.
They've shown that about 10% of the DNA circulating in the mother's blood is actually the fetus.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So there you go. Which means that it will become possible, now that DNA typing is very fast, it will become possible to type your child before he or she is born. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert. This child is just not viable. He's not going to be as smart as we need kids to be today.
Yeah.
So this gene, well, I'm sorry. It's a terminal gene. Really sorry, Mr. Gilbert.
Yeah. We're going to have to go in and extract.
Yeah, and you
and from there
you,
it's
you a, have lost your license to have children.
And from there, it's a short step to. And by the way, this child is going to be a brunette. Oh, sorry, we wanted a blonde.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, more on that, and we'll be talking about the Erickson twins tomorrow. And in the meantime,
yes.
There's that music. There's that spice.
Until tomorrow, God willing, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod. www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud.